Good morning. Greetings to each one in Christ's name. It is a privilege for me to be here. It's a privilege to see each one of you here as well. I trust that we can continue in our worship experience this morning and be edified and drawn to a closer walk with Him. Desire and interest in your prayers as we look into the message. This morning I would like to speak on a subject that is a very practical one. It is one that I struggle with, one that probably all, if we were honest with ourselves, we would agree that it is a challenge for us, we struggle with. It's a subject that I have heard, I don't know if I've hardly ever heard it preached across the pulpit, but one that is very, very important. Simply entitled it, The Importance of Personal Devotions. How many of you heard a message preached like that? Okay, some of you have. On Wednesday evening, had instruction class, and the subject was our personal devotional life. And that is, I guess, what inspired me to study into this more and share it as a message this morning. So, for an opening scripture, turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, we have here somewhat of a comparison between a godly man and an ungodly man. I want to inject here, before we go further, at the end of the message, in testimony time, I would really like to hear from numerous of you as you think of your personal devotional life. I'd like to hear from you what you do to help you keep it inspiring. Think about that. How do you find your devotional life? What do you do that helps you keep it inspiring? I think we would all benefit from that. All right, Psalm chapter 1. Let's read the first three verses. Maybe we could read these verses together. Why don't we stand together, as many of you care to, and let's read Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Whatever he doeth shall prosper. All right, thank you. You may be seated. It goes on to say that the ungodly are not that way. They are just the opposite. Rather than this picture of a tree whose roots are deep and hold the tree steady in the storms of life, the ungodly are rather compared to the chaff which is blown away at the slightest wind. Notice here that the man that would have the blessing of God upon his life, and I'm sure that that's what we want. We all want that. I'm sure we do. We want the blessing. We desire that. We desire that the blessing of God would be on our life. But the man that God can bless, his delight must be in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the question may come, how do we do that? How can we meditate day and night? The question, that's a question we face. You know, we have responsibilities. We have things that occupy our minds, and rightfully so. We have demands and pressures upon us. How do we meditate on God's word day and night? Scripture also tells us to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? What is our understanding of that? I believe the thought would be that we do not become idle. I believe we can train our minds to reflect on God and godly things, no matter what our responsibility calls us to do. I believe that we can train our minds in a measure. I don't believe it means to lay down our earthly responsibilities. I believe it is true that there are certain types of work that would lend themselves more to meditation than others. But again, I believe we can train our minds to think on godly things. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we have here a parable of Jesus. We will not take the time to read this whole account. Jesus talks about the sower who goes out to sow. Verse 4, as he sows, some falls by the wayside. The fowls of the air come and snatch up the seed, and it's gone. Other seed falls on ground that was shallow. Verse 5, the seed begins to sprout and grow and flourish, but when the sun shone upon it, it began to wither and dry up. Why? Because it had no depth. Verse 7, we have the third category. The seed falls on possibly good ground, but there are thorns there that also grew and flourished. Finally, the good was choked out. And then the last category is that seed which falls on good ground. It brings forth fruit. It yields harvest. It yields a bountiful harvest. It flourished. The disciples here in verse 10 ask Jesus, why do you talk in parables? And Jesus gives them some reasons in verse 18. Jesus begins to explain this parable. I'd like to read here verses 19 through 23, keeping in mind the importance of reading the word. Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That this is he which received seed by the wayside, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and with joy and with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. This morning, God requires faithfulness. God desires it. He not only desires it, but he requires it. And I'm afraid I don't take that seriously. I don't take seriously enough this fact that God is not satisfied with just a beautiful, how could you say, a beautiful ornamental plant, if you please. He is not satisfied with ornamental Christians. I think you know what I'm talking about. With Christians that just look okay, or Christians that maybe even act okay and have some appearances of a Christian. He is not satisfied with just that. Jesus said in Matthew 7, a few chapters back, verse 20, he says, wherefore by your fruits ye shall know them. He didn't say by their appearance. No, he said by their fruits. That is the test, and that is going to prove what kind of a person they are. He goes on to say there in Matthew 7, verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You know, sometimes in the wintertime, especially, it's rather difficult to identify exactly what kind of tree you are looking at. Now, many of you, if not all of you, are probably better than that than I am. I look at a tree, I have a difficult time figuring out, well, some are very easy, but many are, that's difficult for me. Whether, you know, especially in the wintertime, when the leaves aren't on the trees, things are rather barren. You look at a tree, is it an apple tree? Is it a peach tree? Is it a cherry tree? But you know, when summertime comes and the fruit is on the tree, then the question is removed, and then you know. As we consider this, I believe Jesus is saying that it is not enough to simply start out in the Christian life. Yes, of course, that is important. There must be a starting point, but that is not enough. It does not, in other words, it does not stop there. Scripture gives indication that there are those who make the start, and yet somehow they become sidetracked. Their vision becomes blurred. It says that there in Matthew 13, verse 22. He that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, you can turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writing to Timothy. In verse 13, he says, Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. This advice was not only to Timothy, for Timothy's benefit, for others as well, to all those that hear him. Thinking now, well, there are some other thoughts I had about that verse. I think we'll let that for now. We may come back to that. But thinking now a little more directly of our personal devotional life, I'm not going to say that this is more important than any other subject, but I do believe this morning that it is something that God is very much interested in. I do not believe that it is an overstatement to say that it is our devotional life that will finally make or break us spiritually. I believe it will make or break the church. That is how important it is. It has that kind of effect upon us. Today, we're all very busy. We know that. I don't know what to do about all that sometimes, but we are a very busy people. We have a lot of different things that call for our attention. We have our marriage responsibilities, our home responsibilities, responsibilities with our children. We have our public life, our business life. We go out to the world and rub shoulders, as it were, with ungodly people. And that's important, how we relate to them. We have our public life, like we're here today, as we meet together for public worship. Our brethren can observe us. We observe one another. We do that. In all of these areas of life, people can evaluate us and make judgments upon us by what they see. That is normal. We have to be careful with that, but that is normal. The way they see us respond and react to situations, that tells people something about me. It tells people something about you. There is also another side of our life. There is another area of life that is secret. An area that really no one knows. None of you really know this morning exactly what my devotional life is. I don't think any of you do. Know exactly what it is. And I don't really know exactly what your devotional life is. I don't know that unless you tell me. It is that secret time, pretty much so. So, there is a danger of neglecting it. Maybe letting that deteriorate a little bit because, after all, no one knows. No one really knows. If you decide tomorrow morning that you are just too busy. You overslept a little bit. You are too tired. There are things that are pressing in. I overslept and I have to get to work. I have to get the wash started. I'll just skip reading my Bible. I will just skip prayer. By and large, we don't find that out. You know, the Lord knows that. The Lord sees that. We know that. And sometimes that's exactly how we may feel, that, well, the Lord knows me. He knows my heart. He knows I want to do what's right. Away we go. Nobody knows that. Well, I don't know. I'm not so sure. Think about it a little bit. The way we respond, the way people see us react to stress, our short-temperedness, our weakness in the face of temptation, do these things give any indication what our communication with God was like that morning? I believe it does. I believe it has a very, very direct connection. We go to work, and there's that filth that might present itself before us. How do we respond to that? How do we respond to those things? I believe that oftentimes our devotional life, or rather our lack of devotional life, well, both ways, really does reveal itself. What I'm saying is that even though maybe we think it is secret, even though we think maybe we can cut corners and no one will know, yet it does show. It does reveal itself again and again. In my short lifetime, individuals that I talk to, I think especially of the times at Bible school where I was responsible to help with interviews. Again and again, that subject comes up. It's real to us. Again and again, it comes up. You know, we're struggling. I have a real struggle in this. And you ask the question, how is your devotional life? Again and again, it goes back to that. It's not good. It's not what it should be. Well, it is important. It's very important. I believe Satan is very interested in getting us away from that time of communicating with God. He knows how important it is. Satan has a way of bringing the cares of life to our attention to distract us, to get our minds off of God. There are cares that are legitimate, absolutely, things that are necessary. The children need to have meals on time. The wash needs to be washed. We need to go to work. We need to be diligent in that. Yes, we do. I'm just saying that sometimes the good can be the enemy of the best. I believe it is true that usually we have time for what we really want to do. I think that's pretty often the case. Again, Satan will somehow bring those things to our mind. I've had to wonder already, why is it that so often I sit down and open my Bible that suddenly there are all kinds of interruptions? You know what that's like, I'm sure. Why is that? There's something that the children need attention with. Maybe the phone rings. Why is that? Is it just a coincidence? I doubt it. Well, I'm not sure about all that, but I do believe that Satan will do all he can to disrupt our devotional life, no matter how strong, no matter how mature we think we are. I believe this is something that Satan will try to get us to believe. You know, you are pretty strong. After all, you had to plow your way through life, and you have been victorious. Relax a bit. Those are things that Satan can and does bring to us. This morning, if our devotional life begins to suffer, we will lose out spiritually. That's a fact. Jesus himself felt the need of going out and spending time in prayer. Again and again, he did that. Who do we think we are that we can neglect that and yet be where God wants us to be victorious in our Christian life? Again, a strong and healthy devotional life is a must. I'll say that a number of times. I need it. As I think about my weaknesses and my tendencies, it's a must for my life. We face difficulties. We face stresses. We face perplexities that weigh us down. What is our reaction to those things? How do we respond? I'm convinced that if our devotional life is as it should be, our response will more than likely be what it should be as well. I had to think of Enoch. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot about Enoch, but it's interesting to me. Well, it does say that he was a man that walked with God. And by that short description, it seems to me that it tells quite a bit about him. He walked with God. He was a man whose devotional life must have been very real to him. He was a man that treasured his relationship with God. I'm certain of that. And the Bible says that God took him. What a wonderful thing to be said about a man. I'm sure this morning of one thing. When it is time for us to lay down our life, when death faces us, you know, the extra dollar we made is not going to matter. The extra job we got done is going to mean absolutely nothing. Rather, it is going to be the fact of whether or not I walked with God. That's where it'll be. I'd like to look now at some things that I believe a healthy devotional life does for the Christian, and then some things that maybe are necessary in our devotional life. I'm not quite sure how many I have here, maybe four or five. things that I believe a healthy devotional life does for the Christian. Number one, a healthy devotional life gives us spiritual understanding. It gives us spiritual understanding. It gives us spiritual discernment. It helps us to properly evaluate the matters of life. There is no doubt this morning that we live in a time where there is much sin. There is much wickedness. So many things are going on in the world that vexes our righteous soul, as it says about Lot. Questions that even men of the world are groping for answers. They don't understand what's going on. They do not know how to respond. They wring their hands. They have no answers. They are baffled by what they are seeing going on. As a child of God this morning, we have an advantage. We have the benefit that ungodly society does not have. Think about everything that's going on right now. We have a benefit. We have an advantage. Why? Because it is the presence of God. It is in the devotional life, that connection, that we can understand and evaluate things. You know, this week, it was easy to get caught up in the things that is going on. And there were times I just had to, you know, I put it away. It's easy to get caught up in those things and not take the time that we should to meditate on God's word. Well, the connection that we have with God is so important in these times. It's in that we can understand and evaluate things. We can make decisions in a way that the world knows nothing about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It is that spiritual discernment that I believe is such a benefit for us. The difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is not just on the surface. Scripture tells us that it does affect the way we look and the way society sees us, but it goes much deeper than that. It affects the way we think. It affects the way we act, the way we respond to life in general. The world admires, I believe the world admires to a degree the way the Christian acts and thinks, yet there are many things they would say are foolish. They don't understand it. Well, we need to move on. I have quite a bit to cover yet. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. There's a point here I want to notice. 2 Kings chapter 19. Here is Hezekiah facing a terrible situation. The city was surrounded by a powerful army, an army that had an unbroken string of victories. One nation after another was being defeated by this army, and he came to Hezekiah with a demand to surrender. I was blessed as I considered how Hezekiah responded to that. Sure, he was distraught. It worked on him, but he didn't give way to panic. It says, verses 14 and 15, 2 Kings 19, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, all of the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. What did Hezekiah do? The thing that stood out to me is he took that letter and he laid it out before the Lord. I believe there is real blessing in that this morning. There are times when we simply need to lay it out. We need to take what we are facing and spread it out before the Lord. Lay it out. And that's what our devotional life does for us. That communication with God. When we simply don't have the answers. When we feel our wisdom is failing us, and we are at the end of ourselves. God is waiting for that. And He will honor and bless us when we come to that point in humility before Him. Let's do that. Let's spread the matter before the Lord. Lay it to Him. The next point, number two, a healthy devotional life gives us spiritual food. I believe that we understand that in any form of life, there must be food. It must be fed, or we have the result of death. There are different ways that we are fed spiritually. We are fed by a worship service. We are fed by the preaching of the Word. Scripture tells us that in 1 Corinthians 1, I believe it is, that by the foolishness of preaching, people are saved. I believe there is a feeding by the fellowship of other Christians. We admonish one another. The singing of songs, that's another way we are fed. These things are all good and important, but there is no substitute for the spiritual nourishment that we receive from our personal devotional life. The nourishment comes through abiding in Christ, abiding in the vine, as it says in John 15. When I think of abiding, I think of a constant connection attached. You know, we understand the foolishness of someone that would cut off the vine and then expect it to bear fruit. Well, that's foolish. We know that would never work. But abiding in Him gives us spiritual strength, spiritual food. Sometimes in the natural sense, we talk about fasting, and I believe there is both a natural and spiritual benefit that our body receives through fasting of physical food. But that is one parallel that breaks down when you apply that to spiritual food, to our devotional life. There is no room for fasting spiritually. Would it be fair? Would it be a fair test if we come up against a time when we really think we just don't have time for our personal devotional life? Could we skip that physical meal instead? When do we have our private devotional life? I know people are different as far as their schedules. I understand that. Probably for most people, it's in the mornings. It seems like in the mornings, our mind is clear. But whatever our schedule is, whatever our tendencies are, it should be a time when our mind can concentrate and receive what God has for us. That's the important part. Another point, moving on. Number three, a devotional life enables us to help others. A devotional life enables us to help others. In our prayer life, I believe we need to include thanksgiving to God, what He has done for us. There is also the importance of praying for the needs of others. We have the example of Abraham praying and interceding for the needs of his nephew Lot. I would say in most of our cases, we are here where we are today because someone prayed and interceded for us. Sure, there are other factors in that. But someone prayed and interceded for us. God answers prayer. We'll let that one. Number four, a devotional life helps us remain humble. When we come before God in sincerity and honesty, I believe that it has a humbling effect upon us. The psalmist says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Pride is one of the things that Satan has been so successful with. He is so subtle in slipping pride into our thoughts. We can be thinking about things and almost sometimes without realizing what is taking place. We are thinking prideful thoughts. I believe a devotional life brings that into perspective. To have the proper understanding of ourselves and our relationship with God. That we are only saved by grace. I believe that a devotional life also helps us understand that God loves us. I believe it is in our devotional life. Well, it is in our devotional life that God speaks to us. Maybe there's something in our life that should not be there. Sometimes we need to make a change. Maybe we've not been honest about something. Maybe we have been deceptive to our parents or the church. Maybe between husband and wife relationships. You know how it is in the daily grind of things. Sometimes we become sharp and impatient, and there are things that are said that we regret. Well, in our devotional life, I believe we sometimes are pricked and reminded of those things. My mind went to the account of Elijah. God wasn't in the wind, or the fire, or the earthquake, but He was in the still, small voice. And I believe it is in that still, small voice that we receive guidance today. We receive guidance. We receive correction. All right, quickly at some characteristics, just a few, of a healthy devotional life. First of all, I believe it needs to be private. Jesus spoke about that in Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, don't make a show of it. Don't be like the hypocrites standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. That is all the reward they are going to get. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, I'm sure that we all understand the importance of family worship and public worship, like we are here today. But I believe that every child of God, with every child of God, there must be that private time. We sing the song, "Alone with God." Alone with God, the world forbidden. Alone with God, O blessed retreat. Is that how I find it? Is that how I look at it? You know, we human beings are social beings. We like being around people, and that's good. But let's remember to protect that time alone with God. I believe devotional life must be regular. It needs to be a habit. It must be, yes, it must be more than a habit, but it should be habitual. Unless it becomes a regular routine, it will become neglected. Again, I believe that this is an area that Satan will attack us. I believe Satan would rather, yes, see us go to church. He would rather see us talking about spiritual things, anything at the expense of that private, personal time with the Lord. Our personal devotional life should not be based upon our feelings. Our feelings are so changeable. We would admit to that, I'm sure. They're not reliable. We should not be subject to them in our devotional life. There are times in our devotional life when our feelings may seem dead. It may seem like our prayers don't reach the ceiling. When we read the Word of God and we try to concentrate, maybe it seems like there is not a message for us. Have you ever felt that? I have. Yet I believe that God is honored. God has commanded us to continue to pray, read the Word, meditate on it, and He will be faithful. Another characteristic, our devotional life must be sincere. In our relationship with God, there is no room for pretense, no room for pretending that things are right. God will not hear the prayer of the wicked unless it is one of true repentance. God will not hear if there is sin in our life, if there is not a love for His Word, if there's not a love for the church, if there's not a love for the brethren. God will not hear. We must be sincere. I believe one of the greatest problems in our devotional life, at least I think it's one of the greatest for me, is that of wandering thoughts. We're reading the Word of God, and all of a sudden we realize that our mind is off. It's totally somewhere else. I'd like to hear how you deal with that. How do you deal with that in your life? Our mind is off thinking about our day, our work. I believe we simply have to pray to God, Lord, take away. It's often when I am having my personal devotional life, I begin with, Lord, take away those things that are distracting. Lord, take away those distracting thoughts so that I can receive what You have for me. I believe we need to do that. This is an area that I have failed and need to grow in, that of keeping my thoughts focused on God's Word. Our devotional life requires that, requires a focus on God. In closing, I'd like to read a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 4. You can turn there, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I trust this message this morning can be an encouragement to us to continue on. A lot of the things that I said here this morning, they're not new. We know that. We know our personal devotional life is important, but I believe we need to be reminded again and again. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to evaluate ourselves. This is an area that God is very interested in. God wants our devotion. If we find ourselves struggling in our Christian life, let's take a closer look at our personal devotional life. I believe God is telling us to be faithful, and as we are, He will give us understanding. Let's kneel together in prayer.